Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays is brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays, and joining with me today is Sharon Strauss, the National Scenic Byways Association Executive Director. Well, thank you, Sharon, for coming in today and talking for Focus Friday, sharing what you do.
I'm excited to be here with you, and I currently have a position with the National Scenic Byway Association as Executive Director.
And so let's kind of start there. How did you get to be the executive director?
Well, I worked with OSU Extension for over 30 years. And so I got involved with byways at that time with Marge Stock, who owned the Inn at Honey Run at that time. And she was very interested in the Ohio Scenic Byway Program. So things progressed, and we became a national scenic byway here in Holmes County, the Amish Country Byway. And I stayed connected then after I left Extension with the National Scenic Byway Foundation at that time. And I was on their board. And basically, the opportunities and the position of executive director grew from two part-time people doing it, and then they needed a full-time person, and they tagged me. I resigned from the board, and I've been doing it now for 7.5 years. I work from home. We have an office and a library here in Holmes County on the same, up from the radio station at the home of Chris Sievertes. We have a library up there, and we have been receiving books and donations from people who have left positions, and things have changed from states and things all over the country for years now.
And I didn't know that there was a library up there.
Yes.
And is that something that folks can schedule with you to see, or is
probably not? Probably not. People call and ask us if we have something, you know, like, do you have this publication? And so we keep it as a reference library. And then we also are always expanding the digital opportunities. So on our website, we continue to put requested publications that are digitized onto our website.
And for the folks listening, what is that website?
That website is nsbfoundation.com. And then when you go to the homepage, you have a chance to go to the library there on the homepage, or to our most visited part of our homepage, that's travelbyways.com. And we've set that up for visitors to come and explore the 1,000 designated byways in the country.
So kind of bumping back then to the executive director position, you said it was created out of two part-time positions.
Sure.
So what is your role now that it's all wrapped into one?
The way I explain what I do, elevator speech, is that I build relationships across the country. I build relationships with people. We have a regularly, quarterly Zoom meeting outreach with all the state travel offices in the country with the state departments of transportation. So we get on a call 4 times a year with these representatives from state departments of transportation and state tourism offices. And from there, we're able to build relationships that grow the entire byway program.
And this is all to really promote the scenic byways across America?
Well, promote would be a good word. Market is another word. We have a vision that we want all designated byways to be recognized for their treasures, for their stories and their treasures.
And a little bit later, we'll kind of get more into the byway part of it, but a typical day. Do you have a typical day? Because it kind of sounds like you don't.
Well, to build relationships, it's relationships with people. So there's a lot of, when you work virtually, essentially, and you work with a computer, I do emails. The average number of emails in a week is probably 600 emails a week where I am communicating with people. Sometimes that's multiple, you know, strings at a time. But a lot of times it's answering questions and pointing people in the right direction. They have questions and I point them in the right direction. Mostly it's with the people that manage Byways. For example, they might have a challenge or they have a question about how they should protect a resource, and I point them to a land trust, or I point people to, if they're wanting to know, how am I going to tell the world about this byway? Well, I point them to the chambers and the visitor centers that are in their region, and they just never thought of really reaching out to them. And those are those people are paid to promote your resource. And so if you had a national park in your backyard, if you had a national forest in your backyard, they would be telling people about it for the recreation opportunities. Well, telling people about your scenic drive is an outdoor recreation opportunity, and I believe all those visitor centers across the country should be telling people about your byways.
Exactly, and because you're with the National Scenic Byway, you're dealing with people all across the country and different time zones, answering all these questions.
That's right. When I walked in today, I told you I was texting someone from Montana, and she says, well, just call me after after you get done today. So,
and then you're like, okay, Mountain Time,
yeah,
Central Time, Pacific Time. I've had friends in different areas, and I'm like, okay, take -1, -2, -3.
Yeah, my quietest time is actually in the morning. So I get up early and that's my quieter time where I can get some of the things done on my to-do list, because the emails and the phone calls come in all throughout the day after that.
And so do you have anything that you, we'll talk about your new event coming up, but do you have any other events or anything that you guys do? Or are you just kind of focusing on helping everybody to
One of the things that we do, that we've been doing since 2015, is we have byway leader trainings across the country, and we arrange for different people to host those byway leader trainings. Now, we did do virtual ones, COVID pushed us all into virtual everything for a while, but we do know and we do market the idea that having a face-to-face byway leader training is really the best. I did one in Salt Lake City, Utah in February, did one in Nebraska a few weeks ago. And so they are so much more productive where you get those people face to face and they really meet other people who have the same interests that they do and are doing some of the same things and have the same questions. So we do a lot. That's one of the reasons the foundation was established, is to do training for people across the country. So we do that. And then with that, we have, when we knew we would be strong enough to do it, we are doing a national conference now, and it's now been 15 years since they had their last national conference. So we're really excited about that coming up in October.
Well, we can get more into that as we continue through our segments here. That is Sharon Strauss. She's the executive director for the National Scenic Byways Association. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We are stepping back in here with Sharon Strauss, who's the National Scenic Byways Association executive director. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And we ended our last segment. You had mentioned that you guys, for 15 years now, have had a national conference as one of the ways you can learn and share information.
Well, I'm going to correct you on that. It's been 15 years since there was a national conference. We haven't had one for 15 years, so it's been a void. The last conference was held when there was federal money from FHWA to support the National Scenic Byway Program. And that money all fell away in 2012. And that also closed the National Scenic Byway Resource Center, the America's Byways Resource Center, they eventually called it. It was up in Duluth, Minnesota. And I was on their advisory board at the time in 2012. And one of the things that the foundation then did was we took over all those resources because they closed the center. So that was the last time there was a national conference, and we inherited those resources. Everything takes time to sort through, so it took time. But by December of 19, when I took over as the executive director, we had done a strategic planning session, and we knew that we were going to grow our resource library. We're going to establish it, expand our digital resources. We were going to offer training for new Byway leaders on a regular basis, and that includes new Byway leaders that come to the Department of Transportation or to a state tourism office that are told, you are now in charge of Byways in that state.
You're like, what?
So, yeah. And they come to our training, and they're so thankful because we try to do the training with local Byway leaders and state Byway leaders together, because that's how you learn what they need at that state level and what you have the capacity to do at the local level. So that's really our main mission, is to sustain Byways and their offerings by doing the training. Now, we know that marketing Byways at the local level and at the state level is something all those people are interested in. So we have expanded to be able to tell the world about the stories of Byways and their resources to that travelbyways.com. So in that 7.5 years, we've gone from just doing some local trainings and managing resources to all the way to this next October, we're going to have a national conference along with the Mississippi River Parkway Commission. That's a commission of 10 states, and they have an annual meeting, and we've partnered with them to have that national conference.
At the same time?
At the same time in West Memphis, Arkansas. They go all different states along the Mississippi River to host them, so they go from one state to another every year. And this is the first time that we're combining to do a national conference. So we're very excited because we know we're going to get a plethora of people from along the Mississippi River. And I laugh and tell people, now you're going to, I hope that this partnership continues, because meeting at the Mississippi River is equally inconvenient for everybody in the United States.
Except for the people on the Mississippi River.
Well, okay, so they need to bring the contingent and the money, right?
But it's a nice center point
for everybody to
come to.
One time we measured the miles of designated national byways, the national segment, because that's easier to measure. We measured the number of miles. It was almost equal, the number of miles designated both east and west of the Mississippi. Isn't that interesting?
That's almost like that was planned.
No, it was not planned.
Like, okay, you got a scenic byway, now you need a scenic byway.
Yeah. And it wasn't like that. And the byways east of the Mississippi are tremendously different than those west of the Mississippi. There are more numbers of byways east of the Mississippi because they're shorter. Okay. The byways west of the Mississippi have just as many miles, but there's less number of national byways west of the Mississippi.
Because they stretch out a little bit more.
Well, their view sheds are bigger, and view sheds are a big deal because that's what makes a byway scenic, is the view shed. You know, if you can't see a view when you're taking a scenic drive, you don't feel like you've been on a scenic drive.
You don't, it's not feeling very scenic.
No, not at all. So view sheds are one of the things that we talk about protecting as far as in our trainings. We talk about protecting your view sheds, identifying them first, and then protecting them.
And with this national conference, what kind of things would people expect to see if they were viewing it?
Okay, so what we're going to have there at the conference is presenters from across the nation. One of them is going to talk about the economic value of having a designated byway locally. And Jennifer Wilding, she is from the Federal Reserve Bank out of Kansas City, and she did research for the last 3 years, and she has published what she calls the Byways Report. And she talks about the economic benefit of having a designated byway and how people should take advantage of it, and that people are seeking those scenic drives and the whole movement for that. So she's going to be a presenter, and we are going to talk about emerging technologies for people because it affects everybody, all these emerging technologies. We're going to talk about what features you need to have to like up the experiences you offer along your byway. What are the emerging things that are coming along? Partnerships. We're going to talk about partnerships. Partnerships with your museums, partnerships with your other nonprofits, partnerships with your chambers and your visitor centers. We are also going to present a whole session of what the state tourism offices are doing to enhance byways, and so that they'll share their information of their successes.
So you got a nice packed itinerary there.
I hope so. We're also going to do, we think networking is one of the most important things that happens. When you bring people together like that, and you're doing that, building relationships, which is what I say my job is, to build relationships. When we bring people together, that networking is really important. So on that night, we're having a 2-full-day conference. We, you know, open with Visit Arkansas taking us to the Sultana Museum on the first night. Do you know about the Sultana?
I know about the Sultana. I had a family member that was on the Sultana.
Well, let's talk about
tragedy.
It.
So, yeah, we have in our family page, one of the people who takes care of our history posted about that and reminds folks.
Right.
And
the biggest maritime disaster in American history along the Mississippi River.
And most people don't know about
it. Right. So everybody read about it. Just go read about the Sultana and the disaster that happened at the end of the Civil War.
Exactly. Check it out and then go check out the museum.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to take on that note. We're going to take a little break here. We'll be back with more from Sharon Strauss, who's the executive director of the National Scenic Byways Association. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. This is Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays on WKLM with Sharon Strauss, the National Scenic Byways Association executive director. And while we ended our last segment on tragedy and destruction, scenic byways are anything but that, because it's bringing all this beauty and history and so much more. And you guys have your conference that you're doing, which is how we got talking about the Sultana. And we didn't even get into day two.
Right. So the Sultana is going to be our opening museum. And the Sultana would be listed as a point of interest along the Mississippi River, Great River Road in Arkansas. And most of our museums are listed as points of interest. And so, again, we're not going to tell you everything about the Sultana. You got to go investigate that yourself. But then we're going to get into the regular conference mode and teaching and presentations and everything on Wednesday. And then Wednesday evening and Thursday, we'll hit a repeat and have presentations and sessions again. But on Wednesday evening, we are hoping to go to the Arkansas Visitor Center and have a great big open tent. And we're going to have activities that some of the byway leaders and people are bringing from all across the country, a buffalo ring toss type thing from Indiana's Buffalo Trail is going to bring their activity. And we're going to have, we'll probably have, I filled a Buckeye vase full of Buckeyes. I'm going to have people guess how many Buckeyes are in there from Ohio Byways. And we'll have activities.
Buckeye the nut or Buckeye the chocolate?
Buckeye the nut, of course. And so we'll do things. But we're going to have activities and then a silent auction. And that's going to engage people. And what happens when you do that? They don't just leave a conference and all disperse into little groups of twos and threes and go to a restaurant and come back bored the next day. When you do a big event like that at night, in an evening, at a visitor center, then you're going to engage people. Now, I'm really excited to bring a local element to this event, and that's going to be Jess McConville. And we are going to design a cake that's going to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the U.S. route numbered system. And Jess is designing that cake, and I'm meeting with her, and we're going to be bringing those ideas down there. And I hope to leave this great big studio event at the Arkansas Visitor Center when I leave.
Well, that is super exciting, taking a little piece of Holmes County with you.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. We hope that it's going to be a photo op, too, because part of the cake design is going to be a 2-foot by 2-foot shield that's a U.S. route shield, you know, that's been used for 100 years now. And we will put the numbers up on a shield with like magnetic numbers. So if you want your picture taken with Route 66, we'll have that. If you want it taken with Route 11, we'll have that. So whatever route you want to be, you have your picture taken with. So the Maine delegation, which we have a lot of people coming from Maine, I know already, they're going to want to stand in front of the Route 1 sign.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
That is a really neat opportunity, and that takes that little piece of Holmes County now out of the national conference to all over the United States because they'll take those back with them and share them. And
that's exactly what we wanted. We really wanted to have a signature place for pictures at the conference.
That's really cool. And you said in the first segment, your job is creating relationships. That's how you create those relationships and build those relationships, is having these engaging, connecting events.
I'm excited about it too.
That is, it sounds fun. And so while you're having fun, it also is a learning opportunity. You also had mentioned there are some other opportunities for learning within the Scenic Byways.
Sure. One of the opportunities is always to match people up to do mentoring. You know, if somebody has a certain challenge or a problem, I have an active folder in my computer where I go byway issues. And then if I do, and if I run into somebody that could help somebody else out, I'll match them up. So I'm kind of like a point person in building those relationships all across the country.
Sometimes we could all use a little mentor.
I made a list one time, Melissa, and it was every decade of my life. And I wrote down a person that was my mentor during that decade.
And you notice doing that it changes.
It does change.
It's not always the same person.
That's right.
That's important to our growth.
That's right. And I think the same thing can be said for these byways as they evolve. You know, they don't stay static. You think, oh, well, it's just a road. Well, they're not. They're not static. And protecting their resources is really an important thing. When you talk about the fires out in Colorado right now, when you talk about the challenges of the mudslides in the state of Washington, some of those byways have been closed. And they have to start deciding how they're going to reopen, if they're going to reopen, who are going to be their partners, what they're going to protect, and how.
How they're going to get them ready to drive again if they weren't part of any
of
that. So it's a lot. And you had mentioned networking. And one of my biggest sayings is, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know.
I think that's really true, Melissa. It's and how you can make connections for whatever goal you have in the future.
And do you guys have any other opportunities where you can come together and share information and help promote these scenic byways?
Well, I've mentioned a few things. You know, we have these byway leader trainings. We also have what we call a First Friday. It's a virtual time for all our members. People who are members, I give them a link. And I send it out 6 times a year on the first Friday in the even months. Our board meetings are in the odd months. And so I said to the board, if you would just have meetings every other month, because it takes so much time to prepare and hold a board meeting, if you'll do that, then I'll offer something to our members. And that became First Fridays. And so I just get on a Zoom call and I let all the questions come in from all over the country. And we network with each other during those First Fridays.
Because while everybody's routes may be different, there are always similar or comparable things that you can learn from.
Sure. You know, byway leaders come from a lot of different places, and they're most always volunteers. And so these volunteer byway leaders, some of them might not realize how important a resource is, and they hear somebody else, you know, championing in it, and then they get the idea to go do it themselves. We have a byway leader in New York who started a coloring book for all the visitors of people. So, and she's learned that it's not just the kids that enjoy the coloring book. The adults learn all those points of interest. Yeah.
And you also meet with the state.
Yes, we meet with state officials from both the state tourism offices and the state departments of transportation. And we hold a virtual meeting 4 times a year. And we do it in January, April, July, and October so that we miss the November, December time. And we hold a virtual meeting with those representatives from those state offices. We call it the State Byway Tourism Collaborative. And what we talk about is how to raise up the recognition of byways across the country.
Which is very important, because there really, you've mentioned, and this just came to me, you mentioned that museums are points of interest on these byways. These byways are like little museums themselves.
That's right. And we all have stories. And in protecting those stories, and what our partners are the people that tell the story. So all the museums along the Amish Country Byway tell the story of the Amish Country Byway and of the culture and the scenery that we enjoy here every day.
Yeah, what people come here for.
That's right.
Well, we've got more to talk about with the National Scenic Byways. That is Sharon Strauss, who's the National Scenic Byways Association Executive Director. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Friday. We are cruising right back on in here with Sharon Strauss. She's the Executive Director of the National Scenic Byways Association. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And you had mentioned earlier in our discussion how originally it was the National Scenic Byways Foundation.
Correct.
And now you use association in the name. How does that change come about?
Well, a lot of people associate a foundation with you can write to them and get some resources. You know, they'll give you grants and things. And we've done that. And when we first started out in 2005, as I mentioned also, there was federal money involved with a Byway Resource Center. So we'd started out to be a Friends of the Byways group so that we could channel private donor money to match grants that some people were getting. So that's how we started, and that's what our charter is, and we still do some of that. But, you know, to be a foundation in today's world, people expect you to be able to provide grants. Now, I took over the foundation in, like I said, 2019, and then COVID hit, and we did have a private partner. Toyota of North America was a foundation grantor to us to be able to pass on grants to other byways. And since that successful time of doing that, we gave, I think, 25 byways who applied. This was during the second part of COVID. We gave them $2,000. That's not a lot of money, but it is if you're going to do a small project like clean up a park or put a bench out or clean up a playground or do something like that. So they did different projects all across the country that year, from Alaska to Maine, and we had people, really a very successful project. And since then, we've had it in our mind and our goal to be able to bring some money to the organization to be able to do mini grants again, small grants, so that byways on a small level could match this money with other money they might be able to get to accomplish one of their goals. I know along the Amish country byway, we're not going to have to use any money like that. But one of the goals we've had in Amish country is to put up historical markers in every single town. And that's been a goal for about 5 years now. And we're going to get that done. And we're very excited about getting historical markers in every single town in Holmes County.
And you would have heard about all of that in our news this past week. So now you can make the connection.
Yes.
And how it's related.
Yes, that was one of our goals. It was actually a pre-COVID goal that we sent in for the Amish country byway. And it's been on, we've been raising money for it ever since. So we're really excited. So that's an example of how a town or a byway or a byway leader could use a little bit of money to do something. So that would be that foundation side. Now, our association side, we haven't gotten any big grants or anything like that since that Toyota of North America, but we are working on it. And our association side is because we act more like an association than a foundation. Since we don't have money to give out, we rely on our membership. And our total budget for a year averages out to $42,000 a year. Now, that may sound like a lot of money, but you know that for a household, that would be poverty level.
Right. And this is for the national scenic,
right,
byways. This isn't the Holmes County
No.
ones. This is for the whole America set,
right,
of byways.
So we're basically a Friends of organization, and we're a nonprofit, and we push all our money out every year just to manage the website, the resources we've talked about, to do these conferences. We do get some money that's, people pay us for doing like a training. They'll pay us $125 for a 2-day training or something like that. But that hardly covers the travel it takes to send presenters out to do a training.
Exactly. It all costs. So the fact that you guys are able to maintain that on such a tight budget and still promote the byways is Pretty impressive.
Well, when somebody asks me, you know, if I make any money, I basically tell them I'm a stipended volunteer. So, you know, I get some money to travel and some other things that cover the cost of running the office. But that's basically it. So I'm happy to do it. I'm retired.
You're doing this out of the love of your heart.
Well, I do love Byways. And I'm a retired person. So I'm okay. And I feel like my job in building these relationships is to make this organization sustainable. So I'm doing everything I can to think about how we can make money in the future.
To keep these, you've got to be planned for the future, and you can't have no funds to do it.
That's right. So we're expanding opportunities that are, you know, some pay-to-play opportunities. And one of them is we're going to be putting an ad opportunity on every single one of these 1,000 byways in the country. So on our travelbyways.com, we are putting a tile on a website that can be bought as advertising. We're going to do it for, you would buy it for a year, and then you're going to either renew it or you're going to let somebody else be the advertiser. But that's one of the things we're looking into, and we're right in the throes of that transition right now.
And so that's where it kind of takes you more into your association.
Right. It takes us into the association and then building these relationships with every single byway, because you're never going to get an iconic restaurant, you know, maybe the oldest restaurant in Indiana, to advertise on that site unless you've built a relationship with that byway and people know that they're going to drive that byway to come to that iconic restaurant.
And that is really, I mean, one of your most famous byways, if you're not looking at the ones that everybody knows here in Holmes County, is Route 66.
That's
essentially what they did.
That's right.
They gave you this destination and you traveled the whole route to get there.
That's right. And Route 66, they have a lot going on, and they have state associations all across the nation. And we are going to have some of those people from Route 66 at our national conference talking about their successes.
Every byway just needs its own song.
Well, we did have our own band, Route 62, in Kilbuck, and I can't wait that they get together again.
Hint, hint. All right, well, we've got more to learn. We're going to learn what is a byway here as we enter our next segment with Sharon Strauss. She's the Executive Director of the National Scenic Byways Association. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. We are back as we cruise in here with the Executive Director of the National Scenic Byways Association, Sharon Strauss. I'm Melissa Patrick here for Focus Fridays. And we've been talking all about the Byway Association and scenic byways. And I'm sure there are some people who are like, well, what makes it a scenic byway? What makes it a national? What makes it a state? How does all this work? And we're going to tell you.
Okay. Well, you might first be surprised that a byway doesn't always have to be a road. It needs to be a transportation corridor. So when you think about a transportation corridor, one of the nationally designated byways is the Intercoastal Waterway.
Oh.
Yeah, and then also the waterway up around Juneau in Alaska. And you can take the ferries over across to the main part of Alaska. So there are a couple of byways that are nationally designated that are transportation corridors that are not a road. But most of the time, it's a road. And when I read in fiction, and it's coming up more and more, I know that people say people don't know what a byway is. Well, more and more, it's coming up in popular culture that people do realize what a byway is. I know that one of our weathermen out of Cleveland always talks about the highways and the byways, you know, when he's given the weather. So I like to hear that. And so that brings recognition to what a byway is. Now, a byway has to have a story. And a famous interpreter said, a byway without a story, Melissa, is just another pretty road.
True.
So you've got to have a story. So what's your story? And I'm very disappointed when a story doesn't match your name. You know, your name needs to match your story. You know, when somebody gives me the name of a byway out in the West, for example, and they don't tie it to what their story is, then, you know, I basically question them and say, now that's the very first thing you need to correct, is you've got to get your name associated with your story. So they have to have a story. They have to have a story. And in the national designation section, to become a national byway, you have to have what we call in the jargon of byways an intrinsic quality. And that has to be nationally recognized intrinsic quality. So it would be either you're nationally recognized as being scenic. So think of the rim of the Grand Canyon. That's nationally recognized as being scenic, okay?
Right.
And it has that awesome feeling.
Epic. Then,
yeah, right. And so you have to be nationally recognized for that quality. So the other quality, next one, is historic. So think of the Lincoln Highway. The Lincoln Highway is recognized nationally from being a coast-to-coast highway that's nationally significant. Okay, and then you have archaeological. Now, there's actually only one national byway that's recognized nationally for its archaeological qualities, and that's the Four Corners down there at when you have the national park at Mesa Verde, down there at the Four Corners of Utah, Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico. So Mesa Verde and the National Park Service there and the road to get to Mesa Verde, because you see other things along the way, and a lot of that is Indian tribe territory, the Utes and the Apaches, I believe. But anyway, you have Indian tribe territory down there. So that's archaeological. Then you have recreational. So that's pretty easy. You've got recreation, and recreation is like along a river or along a trail or things like that where people are seeking recreation along those byways. And then cultural. And of course, here we are in Amish country, so we are recognized nationally for our culturally significant country here, our area here, and how we have been successful at both the Amish and the English getting along and making a wonderfully successful, economically successful community here. And that isn't true everywhere, but we are the model for it across the country for a culturally significant byway and an area. And then natural, of course. And natural's got to be a nationally significant natural area. Now, I mentioned the Grand Canyon, so that would be naturally significant as well. And you don't think of Amish country as being natural because our agriculture environment here is really a cultural environment. It's a built environment. When people think of driving the roads and they think of it's quiet and scenic and it's got that pastoral feeling, I have to remind people that's not natural. That is a built environment. And think of the word agriculture and that gives it away.
Yeah, because that really changes how you look at it.
Right. So we are definitely a cultural byway here from that Amish cultural English relationship and also the agriculture that we're known for.
And we've talked a lot about Route 62, but there's more than Route 62 here in Holmes County considered a scenic byway.
Right. We have 12 other state routes and also Route 62 that goes down to Utica into Knox County. So those other 12 state routes are all designated in the Holmes County area, and also routes that makes up our Amish country byway.
So you can get a lot of driving in here in the county utilizing all our scenic byways.
Right. And I also, every time we talk about the Amish country byway, we never forget the back roads. You know, we had decided, it was a conscious decision back in 1998 not to ask Ohio. We had to get Ohio designation first. And so we consciously asked Ohio just for the state routes because then Ohio would be maintaining those state routes. If we had more visitation, which it has increased since 1998, our visitation on all those state routes have increased. And I can't say that it's because of the designation, but I can say in part that it was because of the designation, because you have partners across Ohio and you have partners across the nation that are now promoting the story and the visitation to Holmes County. So I know that that's a portion of it. I would never claim that it's all. But we do have a lot of economic data that shows that our byway visitation does drive people to the byways that are designated across the nation.
Which is really cool.
It is really cool, and it's exciting. But we also, in our area, want to disperse people off those main roads because we don't want too much traffic. So dispersing them in all our social media and our communication is to disperse people across all the roads. And I'll tell you what, in Holmes County, I can't be more thankful to Chris Young than anybody else for maintaining our county roads.
We have the best county roads, I think, in the state.
Yep, no doubt.
Anytime you're in another county, you're like, oh, just get me back to Holmes County, please. All right, now that we've learned about what a byway is, how you get to be a byway, we need to learn about a special day that's coming up.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that in our last segment here with the executive director of the National Scenic Byways Association, Sharon Strauss. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We are here one last time with Sharon Strauss. She's the National Scenic Byways Association Executive Director. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And we've learned all about scenic byways, what it is, and how they are all working together across the country to keep these going and preserved and there for everybody to drive. And that kind of led into a very special day coming up in September.
Yes, I'd like to tell you all about National Scenic Byway Day. It's been our goal to get on the national calendar, and we know that there's going to be an uptick on people planning fall drives. So at the fall solstice, you know, when autumn starts, we wanted to get on the national calendar for National Scenic Byway Day. Last year on our website, we had about 60% of our visitation during those months, just leading up to September, October, and November. And when you think across the country, you know, the leaf peeping might start in New Hampshire and Maine, but then it, you know, goes all the way down to Arkansas and Louisiana for different times of the year. So leaf peeping and fall travel is really important in the United States. So we declared September 22nd, and it will be forever. This is our first one this year of National Scenic Byway Day.
So hop in the car and go take a drive.
Yeah.
On September 22nd.
Yeah. Go onto our website, travelbyways.com is the vanity URL, and it's part of our National Scenic Byway Foundation website, nsbfoundation.com. And you could explore 1,000 byways in the nation. We have a map partner, Overlook Maps, who has an interactive map for every byway in the nation. Can you imagine that?
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of work.
What we did, we put together a media kit, Melissa, for people that don't really do a lot of media but are looking for the resources. We have some social, you know, blurbs that they could take and use to associate themselves with the National Scenic Byway Day. We've got stickers and images, and we have photos that have National Scenic Byway Day, September 22nd, they could use. We have a proclamation, a template. So we have a lot of things on our website. All you'd have to do is go to the homepage, and it links over to National Scenic Byway Day. We've got a sticker there, and you just click, and you could get access to all those resources. And I welcome anybody that's in the broadcast here that's listening. You could use any of those resources to tie yourselves to National Scenic Byway Day.
And share our county that we've got all these beautiful roadways that I think one of the most important things about the scenic byways and experiencing them properly is to slow down and take it all in.
Yeah, I was just talking to a heritage tourism consultant the other day, and she was pointing out that heritage tourism is closely tied to outdoor recreation, and that scenic driving is actually considered outdoor recreation. The Forest Service recognizes it formally as such. And so when they talk about their outdoor recreation, they talk about driving their forest byways.
So turn the radio on, put the windows down, and cruise.
There you go.
Everybody's always looking for a way to go out and recreate. And now we just gave you a whole new opportunity to go recreate.
There you go. And, you know, take care of those. Make points of sharing those scenic opportunities. One of my favorite drives coming back from Columbus is always coming north or northeast on U.S. Route 62 coming into Holmes County. And to see that expansive view coming from Knox County into Holmes County, that's one of my favorite scenic views, and I hope that we can protect it over time.
And that's also one of the reasons for slowing down, but really taking care of it, not littering or doing anything to cause it distress. We want to keep them beautiful and keep these byways looking nice.
I have to give a shout out to all of the volunteers that are mostly unsung in this county that do a great job of keeping their own properties cleaned up. People that walk along, I see you. I see you with your bags, picking up some trash. I think people do a pretty good job of not littering here, but it's a problem everywhere. One of the challenges in different times across the country, especially during COVID, was when millions and millions of people were taking trips in RVs out west, and the garbage collectors and the trash collectors couldn't keep up with all the trash. Even if it was being respectful, they were putting it next to trash cans and stuff. The people couldn't take care of it. So it's amazing how many, many more feet, many, many more people, it does cause more trash. So I'm going to give a shout out to all those people who protect their clean up their own properties along the roads.
Exactly. There's nothing more disheartening than when you drive along a roadway and you just see the whole hillside beside it or whatever just filled with garbage.
I was so proud of my granddaughter the other day. I'm going to tell you a story. We saw a 5-gallon bucket on the side of the road, and I was on a side road, and she saw it, and it was out by 39. But she was safe because I had pulled on a side road, and she jumped out of the car. She's 8 years old, Melissa. And she went and got that bucket that she saw. She said, "Grandma, there's a bucket out there." I said, "Okay, let's pick it up." Then on her way back, she picked up 5 pieces of trash she saw along 39 and put it in the bucket.
Teach them young.
I was so proud of her.
And that's where it's got to start. It's got to start with the young folk, because when you learn this habit as a young person,
to not throw the trash
out, or to pick it up when right. you see it, that carries on into adulthood.
Yep, I think so. It's been such a pleasure to be with you, Melissa. Do you have any other questions for me?
Well, I was just going to ask if you had anything else you needed to share as we get ready to wrap up.
I want people to go and enjoy virtually the opportunity to travel on byways at travelbyways.com. If you do that, or go to our actual site of nsbfoundation.com, and then there's a link that you can get to Travel Byways there. Both ways are good.
But check out all the opportunities that you have in Holmes County and beyond, because it's national.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining with me today. That was Sharon Strauss, the National Scenic Byways Association Executive Director. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobbins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. You can catch Focus Fridays in the 9 a.m. hour each Friday right here on WKLM. If you happen to miss an episode of Focus Fridays, go to our website, WKLMFM.com, and click on the Focus Fridays icon and then the episode that you missed from there. In our next edition of Focus Fridays, we focus in on David Williams, the Juvenile Chief Probation Officer, here on your hometown radio, 95.3 WKLM.